This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield. This week's show is dedicated to the myriad ways truth, incomplete truth, and its evil cousin, the out-of-context fact, can either serve or bedevil political interests. A case in point this week was the fate of immigration reform, in which a bipartisan Senate bill failed to overcome the countervailing narratives of dangerously porous borders and cruel racist xenophobia. The big losers here, both Donald Trump's wall and the so-called Dreamers, beneficiaries of an Obama-era program offering temporary residency to undocumented immigrants brought to the U.S. as kids.
The bipartisan agreement would grant a 10 to 12-year route to citizenship for the so-called Dreamers. The plan would also provide $25 billion over a decade to build a wall and other border security measures.
Even after the bill died in the Senate, though, the battle for defining the impact of illegal immigration rages on. The president speaks of bad hombres, but as immigration beat journalist Gabby DeValle reminds us, the evidence does not support his case.
So the New York Times reported last January that specifically male immigrants are between one-half and one-fifth as likely to be incarcerated as people who were born in the United States, which generally means that the data shows that immigrants are committing fewer crimes than non-immigrants. That applies to both undocumented immigrants and people with visas and green cards, because even if you're here with a visa or a green card, you can still be deported if you commit a crime. So people are essentially trying not to get on ICE's radar.
Because the daily truth for every undocumented resident remains the same: eluding arrest and deportation by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. Just switch on the news.
A 39-year-old man, Jorge Garcia, who came here from Mexico when he was 10 years old, undocumented, and because of the crackdown of the Trump administration, he was being deported. He was saying goodbye to his wife and his two kids.
Immigration agents today raided nearly 100 7-Eleven stores in 17 states and Washington, D.C. At least 21 suspected undocumented immigrants were arrested.
For years, the federal government left Guadalupe Garcia de Reyes alone. Not anymore.
Hey, no, we won't go.
Protesters gathered in Phoenix overnight, even holding the wheels of a government immigration van in a desperate move to stop it from taking her back to Mexico.
But if the news is supposed to help us distinguish fact from propaganda, DeValle says the press is often a poor arbiter. Many news outlets, she says, are reporting on deportation simply by lifting text verbatim from the administration.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you look at these ICE press releases, it'll be like, murderer deported, child molester deported, person who served in a foreign army and killed all these kids deported. But it's never like, we deported somebody's mom.
Okay, so that's the ICE press release, but the press's job is to put things into perspective, not to reprint the government's assertions. And you say we are, many of us, failing at that.
Because when ICE does these big roundups, these big arrests, they'll publicize it and they'll say, we arrested 100 people, 70 of them have criminal records. And that may be true, but then they'll give you a list of 4 people, for example, or 5 people, the most egregious offenders on the list. And because a lot of newsrooms are so under-resourced, they'll just print that without thinking about the context, without thinking about enhanced enforcement. And ultimately, it's damaging.
Now, of course, I knew you were going to say that, and we've spoken to you before this recorded interview. And so I've come prepared with a fairly standard ICE press release from March 2017 about a series of arrests in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. And in fact, I originally planned to read from the press release itself, but why bother? Because we have local Washington, D.C. area TV stations to simply read it for us.
According to Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers, 82 people were arrested between March 26th and 30th. 68 of them were convicted criminal aliens.
Of the remaining 14, 2 had ties to the MS-13 street gang, 2 had orders of final removal, 3 overstayed visas, 1 was wanted by foreign law enforcement, 1 was a verified human rights violator from Somalia.
A 40-year-old man from Trinidad had drug and gun convictions, and a 35-year-old from Guatemala had a DUI conviction. They are all subject to immediate deportation.
Sometimes it's rearranged, but it's generally the same information, same wording. it's an easy tip-off when they say criminal aliens, for example, because it's like ICE's favorite term.
Okay, so you can understand why local TV stations, which don't have a whole mess of reporting resources, would be likely to use the prepared text over some B-roll footage of roundups taking place. And it's equally unsurprising that the Daily Caller ran the same story and that Breitbart and the like routinely publish articles cribbed entirely from ICE press releases. But it's not just the right-wing media and low-resource TV stations.
Yeah, the Washington Post had a really similar piece that was basically the ICE press release plus a paragraph about how similar arrests happened under the Obama administration, but now Trump is arresting more people. And that was really the only thing that was added in terms of context or additional reporting outside of the press release.
Now, in fairness, this was kind of an outlier for the Washington Post, which has usually been pretty good at the due diligence. In a separate piece, they actually do contextualize ICE's numbers, right?
Yeah, so in the press release, it says that 68 of the 82 people arrested had previous convictions for, quote, crimes like armed robbery, larceny, and drug distribution. But other people had been arrested for DUIs or traffic offenses. And it was also the Washington Post which reported that about half the immigrants arrested by the Trump administration by that point either had no criminal record or had only committed traffic offenses ranging from DUIs to driving without a license. If you're looking at the news, especially local publications, local TV stations reporting that this many criminals were deported, this many criminals were arrested, then you'll have this link in your mind between immigration and crime, even if that link isn't actually there in reality.
Another thing about the way these press releases are constructed, since they are the harvest of raids taking a lot of people in custody at once, is that we are under attack by swarms of dangerous undocumented immigrants. But the underlying crimes haven't necessarily just all happened yesterday, right?
Right. So the way that a lot of ICE arrests work is that if you've committed a crime, let's say within the past 20 years, or even been arrested, your fingerprints are in your state's Department of Correction system. So ICE can go through those databases and get people's fingerprints, information, home address, whatever. And I've talked to lawyers from Brooklyn Defenders and other organizations who have told me that their clients have been arrested by ICE recently for crimes committed 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And a lot of things that people get picked up for aren't even crimes anymore. Like in New York City, for example, turnstile hopping, fare beating, fare evasion, whatever you want to call it, you can get a ticket for that now instead of just being arrested. But if you did it 20 years ago, then you're in the database forever.
What, in your view, are the basic elements that should be included in any story about ICE enforcement?
I think just contextualizing the press release is the most important thing. Reach out to a local immigrants rights organization to get the other side, the other perspective, for a more full picture. And these things don't necessarily take a lot of time. ICE has public information officers all over the country. If you find the one for that particular region and you call them or email them and you say, hey, you put out this press release saying that you arrested this many people, can you send me a list of the crimes committed? They'll send it to you. Even that is helpful because they don't necessarily always break it down saying 20 people had DUIs and one person was a murderer. The press releases are crafted to create a specific narrative. And it's not just that you should question ICE's press releases. You should question any press release as a journalist. That's part of your job.
Now, I'm curious. The Trump administration obviously has built its image on immigration issues. But the previous administration, Obama's, deported 3 million people or some enormous number. Did they also try to skew public opinion by stacking the deck in press releases to suggest that the deportees were more dangerous than they actually were?
Yeah, absolutely. This is definitely not a problem that started with the Trump administration. This predates Trump. This goes back to Obama and even Bush, I would say. I mean, this isn't necessarily a new problem, but I do think that, especially given an administration that has proven it to be so hostile to immigrants, that it's even more damaging than it was under Obama.
Gabby, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
Gabby DeValle is a staff reporter for The Outline. The Washington Post declined our request for comment.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.